Amen. Aren't you glad our God is a rock? Amen. Glory. That is a blessing. There's stability in that rock. Praise the Lord. Ruth chapter 2. I had several people this morning come to me afterwards and tell me that, because I challenged you with where the two words, her hap, was found. And some immediately got on their electronic Bibles or on their phones where they have a Bible program and they plugged that in and found it, and others, like the Whites, they went home and I guess looked up in a concordance. Is that right, Daryl and Phyllis? And you just read the whole Bible?
Yeah.
Very good. Amen. That's good. Together, they held hands and read the Bible. And no, but they found it and came and told me. And anyway, it is found in Ruth chapter 2. It's an interesting couple of words. And I think an interesting message tonight. I'm pretty excited. I read this back in my Bible reading, which would have been, several months ago. I was reading in the book of Ruth. And and it's funny. You read through your Bible, and you've read through it. But these two words just jumped out at me, and I started writing down some things several months ago and developed it into tonight's message. And let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you that we can preach from it, and Lord, thank you for being our rock, and thank you for the Word of God that is secure, it's stable. As I preached this morning, it is absolutely amazing, and it's assuring, and it is the answer that we need tonight, and give us answers tonight from your Word again, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Ruth chapter 2, verse 1, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And then chapter 4 and verse 13, chapter 4, 13, the Bible says, so Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife, and when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child, and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. And it gets just a little bit better. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5. And the Bible says in this genealogy, it says, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rachab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king. Isn't that something? Ruth is the great-grandma of King David. In Matthew 1, which is a genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, There is Boaz, and of course Ruth is the mother there of Obed. And Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. Ruth is in the genealogy, her family, right there. And everything goes back to those two words, her hap. Two little words. It seems like such a simple thing, and you read it, and as I said, I've read it many, many times, just read it over and over again, and yet there it is in verse 3, she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging, there he is, unto Boaz. You understand, folks, she doesn't meet Boaz normally. She's not going to ever meet Boaz. It's not possible for her to ever just run into Boaz. It's not going to happen. Ruth is a Moabitess. She's from Moab. She's not even supposed to be there. I mean, it's not supposed to happen. It doesn't normally happen, and yet God said her hap was to be right there in that field. Right place, right time, everything perfectly going so that she meets Boaz, she marries Boaz, and she becomes part of the line of the Lord Jesus Christ because of her hap. Now, to me, that's a pretty great thing to happen to a Moabite woman. That's a pretty great thing to happen to someone that you never, ever would suspect that it would be Ruth in the line, the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'd never expect that this Moabite woman would be the great-grandma of David, and yet God said her hap was to be there in that field, that day, that time, at just the right time. Her hap, her hap. Again, let's look at it. She went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Hap. What in the world is hap? Well, it means happening, or it could be said to mean it just so happened. We might say it that way. We might say, well, it just so happened that she ended up in this field at this time. It just so happened. Some say that the word has the idea of by chance she ended up there. In other words, in the text as we read it, you have to understand, Ruth was not looking for her Boaz. Are you listening to me? She wasn't out searching for a husband. In fact, I'm not sure she was even thinking about that. Ruth was trying to provide food and money for her family, her mother-in-law, Naomi. She was trying to provide and trying to be a blessing and doing all that she could. She didn't go out that day looking for Boaz. She didn't go out that day looking for, okay, God, put me in the place where I'm going to be prosperous and great things are going to happen to me. By the way, she wasn't sent by Naomi to Boaz. She wasn't sent by her Tom-Tom or her OnStar or anything like that. No, she just went out to do whatever she could possibly do, and her hap was to go exactly where she was supposed to go. I love that. Absolutely love that. Her hap. She wasn't looking for any specific person. Here's the one thing the Bible gives us any idea of what she was looking for, and it's found in verse 2. Here's one thing I believe she was looking for. She says, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. Just, God, let me go somewhere where somebody will give me grace. Why is it? Well, because this wasn't a job. This gleaning in the field was something the poor people did because she was a poor person. Naomi was poor. This gleaning in the field was for someone who did not have their own harvest, their own crops. They simply were permitted, as the poor people were, to follow after those that were reaping, those that were picking the harvest, and whatever they dropped, whatever was left behind, these gleaners, these poor people could follow after, and they could take those things for themselves, and they could have it as their own harvest. And she was just simply, are you listening to me? She was just simply saying, God, just let me go somewhere where they will show me grace. Let me go somewhere where maybe God will have grace on me and they will allow me to be able to glean so I can have some money for myself and for my mother-in-law so we can eat. Her hap, though, was to go to the place where God was going to put her in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she was going to go to a place. She had no idea. By the way, you sit here today and you think, well, this little thing up here, the fourth through sixth grade, that's such a simple little thing that they did. And it's just a simple thing that they play in the orchestra here and a simple thing that somebody plays at piano and somebody sings. And yet, you don't understand what God in heaven is doing. Because I'm telling you that Ruth said, I'm going to go out and I'm going to glean some crops, some harvest, some corn. And hopefully I'll have enough to sell that I can feed myself and Naomi, my mother-in-law. And I hope that God will show grace to me. She had no idea she was going to become the great-grandma of King David. And you know something? You have no idea what God has planned for you. You have no idea. No idea. It may seem like a simple little thing up here. You know, boys recite a line, you know. One little line and then pass a microphone on, and then another one passes a microphone on, and you have no idea that God in heaven is saying, you just keep passing that microphone on. You just keep doing what your teacher says. You just keep going to your choir practice. You just keep being a faithful person and having a part. And because God has a magnificent plan that we can't even begin to imagine. And there goes Ruth. In my mind, I close my eyes and I see her out there, and she's just saying, God, let somebody be nice to me. God, please let somebody allow me to walk with them. God, put it in someone's heart to let me follow after their reaper so that I can pick up some of the leftovers. By the way, some of us are too proud for the leftovers, aren't we? That's why you miss out on so much. That's why we're missing out on so many things, because we wouldn't even take the leftovers. But I got news for you. The leftovers from God are a whole lot better than anything the world's got to offer. And her hat, she went, and luckily, oh no, we don't believe in that, do we? Every time I've been reading through this and reading over it, I've just laughed at luck, because luck has absolutely nothing to do with it. She went and she ended up right there. She simply showed up the right place, the right time, the right circumstances, and that, my friend, was her hap. Her hap. Several things I want to show you about this, and I hope you'll listen carefully. Number one, her hap was designed by deity. Oh, it was designed by deity. Do you know, we would be foolish to look around our world today and not realize that God has a divine design for everything. Look at our human body. I mean, there is a divine design in our human bodies, the blood flow and the blood carrying oxygen. I mean, any little thing goes out of whack and we're out of whack. Amen. And God has designed our bodies in an amazing way. God has designed nature in an amazing way. And how the rain falls, and then how the water goes back up, and then how the rain falls. And everything is just amazing. We would be foolish to not think that God has a plan for everything. God has a divine design for everything. I mean, in the beginning, God created, and then God set in motion everything, so that it could live, so that it could reproduce. And all these things, look at the plan, folks. And then we take our Christianity and we somehow get this idea, well, I hope I'm lucky. How foolish we are. How ridiculous it would be that, boy, I hope you're lucky and your heart keeps beating. Really, luck didn't start it, and luck's not going to stop it. It's a God in heaven who has a divine design, and he sets everything in motion. He has a plan for everything. God has a plan for everything. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming into this world as the Messiah. And God had a plan in everything. There is the plan of salvation that we give out as we go soul winning. The plan of salvation that is on all of our gospel tracks. And my friend, it is a plan. It's not just haphazard. It's not just luck. It is a plan, and it's God's plan that God gave, and it's a plan so that man can be saved and go to heaven. How in the world could we believe in a plan that would cause salvation and a God that would make that plan and not think God has a plan for each of us? How could we not know that God Almighty has a plan for every person in this room? His will is not circumstantial. His will is his plan. It's his plan. You know, you read Matthew 1 and verse 5, and you read about Boaz and Obed and Jesse and David, and there's no luck in that. That's a plan. You say, how do you know? Because it was written before it ever happened. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word, listen to me, folks, understand something. God has a plan in everything. It's not an accident that her hap was to be in that field that day, that time. It was designed by deity. Let me show you some things. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 18. Notice what it says here. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. God puts us in this body as it hath pleased him. That means that you are here as it pleases him, and you do what you do as it pleases him. And it's like, I have a hand here, and that pleased him to put that hand there. And it pleased him to put this ear here. And it pleased him to put this eye here. And it pleased him, it pleased him that this eye has more glaucoma and worse vision than this eye. And that's all up to him. It pleases him to put the members of the body where he puts them and how he puts them and what he does with them. And it's the same thing in a church. It's pleased him, and whatever pleases him, and whatever you do in your church, it pleases God Almighty because he put you here. Wow, that's exciting to me. It pleased him. That's a plan, isn't it? Sounds to me like a plan. Sounds to me like God said, okay, I like that person there, and I like that person to be there, and I want that person to be there, and I want that. You say, well, I don't understand. We don't have to. It pleases him. He's in charge. It's his plan. I love that. By the way, we should care about his plan. That's why we get when we get all casual about God's will and sort of think, I just hope things work out. You don't have to hope things work out. You could understand there is a God in heaven that has a plan, and you could say, God, help me to walk the steps that you want me to walk so that my hap is to be where I'm supposed to be, when I'm supposed to be there. Look at Ephesians 5, verse 17. Ephesians 5, 17. I'm excited about this. I like talking about this more than I do the flesh. Glenn Herndon came back when he found out I was done preaching on the flesh. Ephesians 5:17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Isn't that good? Understanding. What's he say? He says, don't be unwise. Understand what the will of the Lord is. That tells me a couple things. One, it tells me there is a will of the Lord. There is a plan. There is something God wants to take place. There is his will. But it also tells me if I'm not wise, I might miss it. If I'm not wise, I might not be at the hap that God has for me. I might not be there. Colossians 4, verse 12. Colossians 4, 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Wow. Isn't that awesome? To be in all the will of God. I'll be honest, folks, I don't want to miss anything he has for me. I'm amazed that some treat it like it's not that big a deal. I'm going to show you some things about Ruth. It's a pretty big deal. I already did. I already showed you a pretty good thing. Great-grandma of David, the king. Uh-huh. That's a pretty good thing. But in all the things, all the will of God. Oh, he has a plan. Her hap was designed by deity. Romans 12, verse 2. Familiar passage of Scripture, Romans 12, 1 and 2. But verse 2 of Romans 12 is just a wonderful, wonderful truth. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, some people say that there is a good will of God, there's an acceptable will of God, and there's a perfect will of God. But I'll be honest with you, if I were you, I would just want that perfect will of God. You know, if I'm lucky, it'll all work. No. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Luck has nothing to do with it. It is a divine design. Her hap, Ruth's hap, was designed by deity. Completely designed by God Almighty. You know the story. Naomi, her husband Elimelech, they went to Moab, and certainly we could argue that they never should have gone to Moab, but God even takes some of our foolish decisions, and he can work within our foolish decisions. And they, her and Elimelech, they went to Moab, and they went, and they had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And the two sons, of course, they're growing up and everything, and not long after they were there, Naomi's husband, Elimelech, died. Just died unexpectedly. And now she has two sons. And the two sons meet two young ladies, Ruth and Orpah. And Mahlon marries Ruth, and Chilion marries Orpah. And then, not long after that, her two sons, Naomi's two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, they both die. And now Naomi is there with Ruth and Orpah. And Naomi says, I need to go home. And you girls, there's no reason for you to go with me. You might as well stay here in your home of Moab. But understand this, they died. And Elimelech died, and Mahlon died, and Chilion died, and Naomi says, I got to go home. But understand this, God had a plan, and we need to realize that sometimes things happen that we don't necessarily like, but God Almighty has a plan, and His plan is a whole lot better than the fact that our feelings may get hurt, or we may not like it. Hey, listen to me, God has a plan. Her hap was designed by deity, and I submit to you, she's not in that field unless some sorrow comes in her life. But she's not in that field if she gets mad about the sorrow either. She's not in the field if she gets bitter about the sorrow either. Oh, how many folks miss out because of bitterness and anger because something did not go the way you planned. I'll be honest with you, folks. We're good stewards, do plan. But the truth of the matter is, it can be very foolish sometimes, because God may change our plans. And by the way, does He have a right to change your plans? I mean, do you let God, again, I know you're not going to stop Him, but in your heart, does He have a right? Does he have veto power over your plans? We plan. We're supposed to. I got a calendar, and it's got all these dates. Sometimes I chuckle at the dates on my calendar. Sometimes I laugh over dates. I've planned all kinds of things only to have them stop because God had another plan. I can show you on my calendar. I can show you trips my wife and I were going to take. I can tell you about two times we had trips we had paid for, and we were going to go, and two times here, many times before, and God had another plan. That's what happened to Ruth. God had another plan. Her hap was designed by deity. Don't you ever think luck has anything to do with anything. Well, they were just born to the right kind of family. Has nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. There's a God in heaven who has a plan. Number one, her hap was designed by deity. Number two, her hap was determined by devotion. Oh, don't think that you're going to just do your own thing and everything's going to work out okay, because that isn't what happens. Her hap was determined by devotion. And Naomi's husband was dead. And Ruth and Orpah's husbands are dead. And Naomi says, I want to go home. And I need to go home. In chapter 1, verse 6, we pick up the story here. And it's a beautiful story. And then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited His people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. And the Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. And then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we'll return with thee unto thy people. Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? By the way, that's a good argument. Why would you go with me? And then she gives even the best argument. She says, are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? She said, you were good wives to my boys, but I don't have any more sons. And I won't be having any more sons. Why would you go with me? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I'm too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Good question. Good question. Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. By the way, Naomi, the Bible tells us later on, she became bitter, but we don't see that with Ruth. They lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Now, Orpah kissing her said, I love you. Ruth clave to her. She said, I love you differently. I preached on that once. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people and thy God, my God. And that wasn't the popular answer. And that wasn't the thing that Orpah chose. And I guarantee that if everybody would have gathered around, they'd have said, Ruth, you're crazy. Don't go with that woman. Let her go her way. You can find a husband here. You can do something your own way. And Ruth said, no. She said, I love her. And she said, I'm going to go with her. Phew. It's good stuff. She said, where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part me and thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her, and her hap was determined by devotion. So many think we can do anything we want to do. We can think anything we want to think. Maybe we'll get lucky. No, I'm going to tell you something. It matters who you love and it matters how you love. It always does. Ruth said, I am giving my love and my devotion to my mother-in-law, Naomi. She has cared for me. She's loved me. She's gone through heartache, and I'm going to love her back, and I am going to take care of her, and I'm going to be a blessing to her, and I'm going to be loyal to her, and I'm going to love her. And I'm going to tell you something. It matters. It matters a whole lot more than luck, how you love. It matters a whole lot more than luck, how loyal you are. Oh, it matters. It really does. Love and loyalty were a huge part in her hap. And I submit to you, it's a huge part in your hap, too. You know, young people, I'm going to tell you something. You better love your parents, and you better be loyal to your parents. Oh, yeah, it matters a lot. Well, my parents, they're old-fashioned. Love your parents. Love your parents. Be loyal to your parents. All the other kids, yeah, my old man. You know, walk away from somebody that says that. Just walk away from it. Don't you dare think about your dad as an old man. Don't you dare think about your mom as the old woman. Don't you dare think anything but love and respect and loyalty to those people that have cared for you and have taken care of you and have provided for you and have sacrificed for you. Don't you dare sell that love short and that loyalty short. Because I'm going to tell you something. It has something to do with your hat. It does. It does. Same thing, not just your parents, but your church. Your church. Love and loyalty. You know, a church that has loved you, a church that has cared for you. Some of you, since you were just a little child. And how dare you roll your eyes at a church that has loved you and taken care of you and provided for you the Word of God, the most important thing in your life. Yeah, it doesn't really matter. It does really matter. And it does really matter that this is the church your parents chose for you. And it does really matter that Berean Baptist Academy is the school that your parents chose for you. It does matter. And love and loyalty has a whole lot to do with your hap and what happens to you. Oh, you know, husbands and wives, don't take for granted your spouse. Love and loyalty goes a long way. Well, you know, I'm pretty much tired of them. You weren't when you stood up and made vows to them. Love and loyalty goes a long way. Hey, you ready to throw out your friends? Love and loyalty goes a long way. Orpah loved, but she didn't love like Ruth loved. Ruth loved with a loyalty. You know, it wasn't the popular thing to go with Naomi. It would not, I guarantee, had they had a group get together and vote on it, they would all said, you're crazy to go with Naomi. But remember, she became the great-grandma of David because of her love and her loyalty. No, her hap was determined by devotion. Loyal to God. You know, loyal to God is to not be bitter over things that don't go the way we want them to go. That's just a loyalty to God. It's a God, I know you know what's best. Amen. God, I trust you. I believe you. Oh, it's so easy to believe God when we're standing behind a pulpit. It's easy to believe God when we're teaching a Sunday school class. It's easy to believe God when we're preaching to bus kids. It's easy to say, you know, I believe God, but when you really need to believe God, do you believe God? And that's when things don't go the way we want. I mean, Ruth has lost her husband. But she says, God, I trust you. Chapter 2, verse 12, her testimony was this. She said, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. I'm sorry, that was said about her. But notice, thou art come to trust. It was very obvious. Naomi became bitter, but Ruth just said, I trust you, God. She said, I love you, Naomi. She said, I trust you, God. I'll be loyal to you. I'll be loyal to you. And that, my friend, helped determine her hap. I'm so saddened by Christians who end up on a dead-end road. And our world is full of them. Our town is full of them. Dead end. Nothing. They had wonderful dreams. And their parents had great dreams for them. And others saw greatness in them. And it could have been. And it should have been. But because they lost their love and their loyalty instead of what God had planned, they ended up on a dead-end road. I'm fearful for many here that that would happen. Her hap, first of all, was designed by deity. Secondly, her hap was determined by devotion. Number three, her hap was destined by decision. Phooey on luck. You better make right decisions. Amen? You better make right decisions. Well, you know, I got to try to decide. That is so foolish. It's as foolish as people playing Russian roulette, and spinning a chamber with a bullet in it and pointing it to their temple and pulling the trigger, hoping that they're lucky. You say, preacher, I would never do that. No, but you do that with your life. Her hap was destined by decision. There's a lot of disloyal folks, disloyal to parents, disloyal to leaders that God's given to them. There's many disloyal that hope there's luck. You're hoping there's luck because you've cast aside everybody God's given to you to help counsel you. You've pushed aside everybody. You've rolled your eyes at every good counselor. They're old-fashioned. They know what they're talking about. They're not up to date. They're, you know, hey, listen to me. You're hoping there's such a thing as luck. You're hoping you can do a spin-o-matic and get yourself straightened out. You're hoping you can do a pop-o-matic and pop the right numbers to land on the right space. You're hoping you'll draw the right card that'll put you in the right spot. But I hate to tell you this. Actually, I love to tell you this. It ain't happening. Her hap was destined by decision. She made a decision. The right decision is destiny's path. The right decision is where we how we end up in that right field at the right time with the right circumstances. It's making right decisions. It started in the mind of God. It worked in the heart with the devotion of Ruth. And it influenced the decision that led her to that field that day. Oh yeah, it's all attitude. In my mind, I think there were probably bigger fields. In my mind, I think there were probably better harvests out there. But I'm going to tell you something. She was going to get more than just a harvest, because she was going to God's will for her life. And that's, you don't even have any idea, as you're on the path of God's will, how that's going to end up. You don't have any idea how good that really can be. I mean, she's just saying, oh God, could I just have your grace? Could this poor handmaid who has to beg for food and has to beg someone to let them just pick up whatever's left over, oh God, would you just put grace in their heart for me? But it was her decision. It was a decision that wasn't the most popular to follow Naomi. It was a decision that wasn't the most fun to follow Naomi. It was the decision that wasn't the most promising. Yeah, I'm going to go with my mother-in-law. But her love and her loyalty helped her make the decision. By the way, young people, that's why you listen to your mom and dad. That's why you listen to people that have loved you. People that have sacrificed for you. That's how you go to a Brother Nixon. And you say, Brother Nixon, I need your advice. Because there's a man that loves you. That's how you go to a Brother Chase and Brother Cook and Brother Cook. And that's how you go to a Pastor Rogers. And you go to people and you say, hey, I need your advice. Because they're not going to tell you something that is for them. They're going to tell you something that is for you. They're not going to tell you something to try to be more popular with you or to try to be cool. They're just going to tell you the truth. And you'll accept that only because of your love and your loyalty. Her hap was death. Don't sell short the altar calls at this church. Don't sell short the altar calls in chapel. Don't sell short the altar call in the youth meeting. I walked by the youth meeting and I heard Brother Craig Pearson, he's pouring out his heart to young people. Don't you dare sell that short. Somebody who for years has loved young people and loved young men and taught them in Sunday school class over and over and year after year, and some turn out good and some, I'm sure he weeps over. Your decisions, today's decision, tomorrow's decisions, her hap was destined by decision. Number four, her hap was delivered by determination. I'm just about done, but I don't want you to miss these last two points, honestly. Her hap was delivered by determination. Number one, her hap was designed by deity. Number two, her hap was determined by devotion. Number three, her hap was destined by decision. Number four, her hap was delivered by determination. Because in chapter 2, verse 2, she said this, let me now go to the field and glean. What's that mean? Work. Work. So many. I'm going to wait for my hap to fall in my lap. And it doesn't happen that way. You know how it happens? Old-fashioned work. Amen. Amen. What's she going to do? She's going to glean. What's that mean? That means that the reapers are going to go through and they're going to pick all the crop. And every now and then, they're going to miss something. Every now and then, they'll miss something or something may fall to the ground or fall out of a bag. And they're going to miss out on those things. And then here comes the gleaner, somebody that comes behind, the poor people. And they're allowed to walk behind and they can pick up that which was missed. But it's work. And it's hard work, and it's hot, and it's not something that a big shot would want to do, because they're literally picking up the leftovers that got missed the first time, and some of it may be inferior crop, and it may not be the best crop, but they say, hey, I'm going to take whatever I can get, and I'm going to work for whatever I can get. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I'll be real honest with you. That's where you're going to find your hap. Sitting around doing nothing, you're going to miss it. I've told you, and I just gave the illustration. I'll not give it again, but my hap started when I said, I'll paint the swing set. As a long-haired, hippie, new Christian, I said, I'll paint the swing set red, white, and blue. And nobody thought a thing of it, I'm sure. And nobody, you know, to everybody, it was like, oh, well, that's nice. You know, that's nice. The poor guy can't afford a haircut. He's going to paint the swing set. And it's going to be 40 degrees. That's nice. And they did. And I'm sure some of the elderly folks, they just said, oh, that's nice. Yeah. That's where it started, though. And I stood out there and froze to death. And my hair got so messed up in the wind. I'll never forget the preacher asking for volunteers. And because we sat so far in the front, I knew that everybody volunteering was in the back because I wanted to beat everybody because I wanted to do everything. And I knew as the preacher is looking for volunteers and I'm going, oh! I knew there were 30 to 40 people behind me doing the same thing. And he just called on me. And I got to paint the swing set. And he needs somebody to coach basketball and work with the boys in the ACE school. And I'll never forget raising my hand and he ignored me. And he ignored me. Oh, have I done that before? Brother Cox, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because I was the long-haired hippie that, you know, he can't work in the school. I mean, that ain't going to work out. And I'm going, and he said, well, you know, maybe we'll ask another time. I've done that before, too. And sure enough, next time the announcements came out, well, we need somebody to work. Oh! I'm up! And I'm thinking, there must be hundreds of people behind me volunteering. Truth of the matter is, it was like, I was all alone. You know what? He finally had to call on me. He didn't have any choice. And the guy that was good enough to paint the swing set red, white, and blue in 40-degree weather, that guy got to coach some boys in a basketball season. Oh, yeah, and you know the story. The preacher came and finally had to tell me the rules. Notice verse 2, though. She said, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. You see, there's an attitude in a worker. Grace. She's not saying, don't you know I deserve this? By the way, that's what's got a lot of us in trouble today. Because we think we deserve so much. We think God is just so lucky to have us. Yeah, luck. We think, well, I've got, you know, I mean, it amazes me how many of you sit out here thinking that, well, why didn't the pastor ask me? Do you somehow think there's an asterisk over your head as I stand here and look out? By the way, if there was, I can't see that far back. I can't see asterisks because I can't see people. It's a blur. You know, it's like, here's what I'm wondering. What are you waiting on? Oh. What can I do? Amen. So many Christians are expecting something by doing nothing. Ruth was in that field. Why? One reason. Get a husband! Nope. By the way, you girls that are on your chat rooms and all your sites, and you got to put on all kinds of makeup and darken this and lighten that and squeeze this and unwrinkle that and smelly this and unsmelly that. And you're walking around, you know, and you're flirting with everybody and you're batting your little eyelashes and you're doing all that kind of stuff. That wasn't on Ruth's mind. You know what was on her mind? God, if we could just eat, put me somewhere where I can work and I can provide. Amen. Isn't that good? That is good, Steve. Thank you. It is. Chapter 2, verse 13. Watch this. Boom to luck. Amen. Chapter 2, verse 13. And then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord. For that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids. She's talking now to Boaz. Boaz said unto her, at mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers. That is awesome. And he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed and left. He said, you know what? He said, you don't have to. You can follow my reapers and glean whatever is left. But he said, when they sit down to eat, you just go join them and you eat with them. You don't have to. Hey, I know you're poor, and I know that you don't have money to go to McDonald's, and I know you don't have those kind of things, and you just go sit with my reapers. Oh, did God show grace? Oh, did God? But folks, it was her hap. I hear so many Christians belly aching about this and griping about that, and I think you must have missed your hap. Because my hap, he always takes care of me. And if I'm willing to glean, he has always said to me, just go ahead and sit down with the reapers and eat with them. You're my son. Woohoo! Amen. I'm so sick and tired of a dead Christianity that so many Christians are living because you missed your hap. Because in his hap, that is your hap, he provides, not luck, he provides, because it was God's design, her devotion, her decision, her determination. But watch this, and it gets into shouting territory. Because verse 15 says this. I almost can't handle it. When she was risen up to glean, she starts gleaning. Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean, even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And watch what he says. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. She doesn't know anything about that. Isn't that good? She has no idea. Boaz. Who's Boaz? Oh, he's going to be her husband. He doesn't even know it yet. Amen? Why did she ever meet Boaz? Well, it was her hap. God planned it all. Amen? Amen. And how does Boaz, what's going on with Boaz? Oh, he's a man of grace. Because she asked for grace. Yeah. And he says, hey, fellas, listen. Tells the reapers, these guys are professionals here. They know what they're doing. He says, look, while you're reaping, I want you to drop some of the crop on purpose. That's pretty good, isn't it? Drop the crop. Amen. And don't let her know. Can you see her? Can you see her? She doesn't look like you. She doesn't look like the average Christian. She's going, woohoo! Look at all this. And she's gleaning, boy. Huh? She's excited. She's happy. She's thrilled. Why? Because God's providing. Oh, she had to be out there working, right? She'd have missed it if she hadn't been working. Verse 17, so she gleaned in the field until even and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley, far, far more than the average gleaner. Oh, the blessing of our hap. What we miss by not being there. I'll be honest with you, folks. I've received those handfuls of purpose so many times in my life. Sometimes I think, you know, what if I hadn't been willing to paint that stupid swing set red, white, and blue because it was ACE school? What if I'd have thought I was too good to paint a swing set? What if I just, you know, that's not a popular thing. And the preacher comes and says, well, you got to get your hair cut. And certainly that wasn't a popular thing. And Ruth had, I'm sure, many, many opportunities to do other things. What we miss by not being in our hap. What we miss by not working. Again, I want to remind you of something. She wasn't there looking for a man. She was there trying to provide. Number one, I said her hap was designed by deity. Number two, her hap was determined by devotion. Number three, her hap was destined by decision. Number four, her hap was delivered by determination. And the last thing, number five, her hap was developed by dedication. Developed by dedication. What do you mean, preacher? Chapter 2, verse 18. After she beat out that ephah of barley, she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she probably went, ah! She couldn't believe it. You know, there's rejoicing. Amen. And she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed, and her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? I can't believe this. Where were you? And where wroughtest thou? By the way, gleaned and wrought, that's work. Just thought I'd remind you of that. Blessed be he. She didn't say, where hast thou napped today? Which soap opera hast thou watched today? You say, I'd like you to go back to the flesh message. No. Watch what she says. This is so good. Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. Now you read that and you don't think a whole lot of it. Who is it? That's Boaz. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, she probably pulled out her cell phone and showed the picture of the guy. And she said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi went again because she couldn't believe it. Oh, you talk about luck. You're starting to see luck just really blossom here. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us. Whoopee! One of our next kinsmen. Isn't that lucky? You like all this lucky stuff, don't you, Brother Korea? Amen, brother. He's near of kin. Now, you know, Ruth doesn't necessarily know what all that means, but now the wheels are turning in Naomi's mind. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Oh, praise the Lord. That's why you don't sing. You're not excited because your hap's over there and you're over here. I'll be honest with you. I've never been unexcited about my hap. I've had sorrow in my hap. I've pulled knives out of my back in my hap. Boy, be careful how you say all that together. You can get in a lot of trouble. I mean, I have had more and more valleys my hap has been. But it's fun, your hap. And Naomi now, the wheels are turning. Ruth the Moabitess said, I like the way it says Ruth the Moabitess, because we're supposed to understand that she's not even supposed to be there. Those things don't happen, folks. They just don't happen. There's really not a God that works. You think that. He said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good. Now, I don't know the Hebrew word for good there, but it's got to be, because I know she was thinking that. I know she had to be thinking that, because now it's all coming together for Naomi. I'm having fun whether you are or not. I mean, this is so good. It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. No, do not go to any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. And her hap was developed by dedication, and she obeyed what her mother-in-law said, and she stuck right there. I don't think Naomi said, do you know that there's a good possibility you could marry Boaz? Do you know you could have all that Boaz has? Do you understand what all this means? I mean, you can't hardly imagine how great this is. She just said, no, here's what you do. Obey. You know what she reminds me of? And every time I read that, and I've been reading it here a lot, working on this message, I thought about these two words that maybe is exactly what Naomi said. And Naomi knew what Naomi knew, but Ruth didn't know what Naomi knew. And here's what I think she said. I think she was saying, just do right. I don't see Ruth going, I've got to go find guys. Don't you understand? I got to get married. I got to find a guy. I got to get a guy. If I don't get a guy, I mean, I'm getting old. I'm in fifth grade. I got to have a guy. I got to be going out. Everybody's going out. I got to be going out. I mean, don't you understand? I can't be out in a field like that. I mean, I got to look for guys. You say, preacher, you exaggerate. You know I'm telling the truth. chapter 3, verse 10, he said, "Blessed be thou, the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning." When's this? Oh, this is after she obeyed, and she followed, and she worked, and she stayed faithful, and now Naomi has said, "Now go get him." Amen. And he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich." Hey, big boy. That's not what Ruth did. I did a pretty good job at that. You say, "Preacher, that looks ridiculous." Yes, you do. You know what you're going to catch? You're going to catch a great big hunk of flesh. And that's all you're going to catch. That's it. Amen. This works better. Because look, here's what Boaz says. You're not chasing after young guys, whether poor or rich. And he says this, "Now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requires, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." And he says in chapter 2 and verse 11 and 12, what did he say about her? He said this, he said, Boaz answered and said, it hath fully been showed me all thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. He said, "I've seen your faith. I've seen you're a virtuous woman." Do you know that nowhere in the Bible does it say Ruth was a beautiful woman? Nowhere. I looked. But it also doesn't say Ruth flirted. Nowhere does it say she tried to attract his flesh. She just waited for her hap. You young folks who can't trust God and you can't do right and you dress seductively and you flirt and you chase after guys, you're going to miss your hap. You're going to get stuck with some clucky chap. He's going to beat the fire out of you and he's going to be a drunk. He's not going to pay the bills, and he's going to leave you stranded, and he's not going to go to church. And you think it's pretty cool at first, but it's not going to be cool later on, especially when you realize you could have had a Boaz. The Boazes of the world are looking for a virtuous woman, and the Boazes that love God, they know it's not going to be luck that produces her. And the Ruths, they know that it's not going to be luck either. It's not luck that made her the great-grandma of David. Amen. It's not luck that put her in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, it was her hap. Designed by deity, determined by devotion, destined by decision, delivered by determination, developed by dedication. What's your testimony? There's a God in heaven that wants to lead you along. Just take you right exactly to your hat. I'm not going to glean in some field. Okay, you're going to marry Bert instead of Boaz. Now, I don't know anybody named Bert. Okay, don't. There's one sitting here. Usually someone, "That's my grandpa." But folks, listen to me. We are so foolish sometimes. I hope you'll never, ever, ever read that story again without letting God speak to your heart. Ruth was, there is no way in this world man could have made that happen. There's no way in this world it's supposed to happen. But there's a God in heaven who has a plan. And I think about each and every person in this room. There's no such thing as luck. There's no, the very valley that you're in right now might be the valley that makes you go on a path that's leading right to your hap. Don't gripe about your valley. Don't be bitter about the circumstance. Don't be angry about what's going on. Just say, "God, I trust you. I love you, God. I'm going to be loyal to you, God. I'm not going to leave you, God. I'm going to stick with it because I really want to be in the center of your will, which is my happiness.